Once again, headlines out of the war. That's leading the cause of what we've been seeing in the markets today. You're listening to the American Ag Network. Good afternoon. I'm Susan Littlefield. Mike Zuzulo joins us today. Mike, of course, is with Global Commodity Analytics. And, you know, we see those war headlines again. And we thought going into that three-day holiday weekend, there was a truce underway. What are you seeing and how is it laying into these markets?
Yeah, Susan, I tell you, I am at a point now where I've changed my alarm clock to the Sonny and Cher song that was in Groundhog Day, because it seems as though every beginning of every week we have to deal with the exact same situation of another new Iran deal that's on the table. And so the futures market sinks and the conflict revs up, and we've had some defensive strikes by the U.S. against some missile sites reportedly in southern Iran. And the trade, simply put, has gotten to the point, I think, after this last 4 or 5 weeks, especially of seeing this over and over and over again, of just literally pulling money off the table. And they found it easy to do because the bond yields are going higher with the crude oil market wanting to give the market the impression that we're headed for some interest rate hikes, not interest rate cuts. And so I think the commitment to traders report, even though it's early, it's only as of last Tuesday, even though it was published on Friday, it's still, I think, starting to show some early indications that my mindset that the funds are jumping out and just hitting the sidelines is probably going to be seen as accurate in the next couple weeks of data. And so what we've seen as a result of that is gravity take hold, and we've seen the gravity take effect with the soybeans and the wheat leading this market lower as we go into the first week since the holiday trade.
You know, you've got folks that are fertilizer experts out there in the marketplace, and they're saying 2027 is going to be pretty tough if this Strait of Hormuz does not get settled and figured out soon. What are you hearing?
Yeah, I mean, this is going to be, even 2026 is going to be tough, because we've got a situation now upon us where it's going to take weeks, if not months, to be able to get commodities, downstream commodities like fertilizers, moving in a very rapid point to where they're getting unloaded and ready to be barged up the Mississippi River. I think that's one of the things that we tend to forget about the supply chain, especially when it comes to fertilizer, is you usually have the barges going down with grain and coming back up with fertilizer. And that's going to take some time. And I would say that while I'm more optimistic that diesel prices could fall if the Strait of Hormuz opened up by the time we got to harvest, if it opened up soon, by the time we got to harvest, the diesel prices would start to fall. But I'm not optimistic that the fertilizer prices will start to fall. And I think this is where the June acreage update, that the reassessment of USDA, is probably going to be a lot more important than we realize right now.
And you bring up the Mississippi River. And earlier this morning, farm broadcasters had the opportunity to kind of get an update. And it's not looking good. Low levels causing for some shipping costs that trickle right back to the farmer.
Yeah, this is very surprising to me, because when you talk about 6, 7, 8 inches of rain up in, you know, western Iowa, northwestern Missouri, we have been right at our flood banks here in the last few days on the Missouri River, running through St. Joseph, Missouri, Atchison, Kansas, and on down to Kansas City. But you're right, that Illinois River is probably okay because of the rains that they have been received, but there are some areas that are going to be in some tough spots. And so that's something to watch. I think the trade's probably not going to get too nervous about that. One thing that I would say is worth watching weather-wise, Susan, is the trade's starting to really talk more about center west Brazil. It's starting to heat up, and it's been drier. It's not a critical mass type situation yet, but give this 2 or 3 weeks, so, you know, the rest of May now, we're gone into the last part of May. Give it a couple more weeks to get into mid-June. If we're dealing with still hot, dry weather in center west Brazil, that would be kind of prime time for getting that corn production set at a high level or not.
And I'd read, too, that there was some worries. Now, it wasn't a huge amount, like 6 to 7% of total production in China, but they're worried about some damaging sprouting because of the moisture that they've had in this winter, or in the wheat.
That's exactly right, and they're planting progress on the row crops in certain parts of China, central China especially, really starting to be looked at by me. I don't know if the trade's really looking at it right now, but I think all these things add up to the idea of what you and I often talk about is supply falling faster than demand. And you can rope this into the cattle on feed report, but whether you're talking about wheat, crude oil, corn and soybeans, the fertilizer issue, and the cattle on feed report is supply falling faster than demand. The trade has pulled back on that and said, no, we think that the demand has probably been rationed. Supplies and demand are very equal with one another right now. So let's take some premium out of this market. I believe it's way too early to do that.
Speaking of cattle on feed report, do you think it was pretty much factored in after last week's trade ahead of the report numbers?
I want to say I think the feeder placements number was, but I think the marketing's number, I certainly was very surprised by that. I mean, it makes sense that you would be down 10% if you had a smaller cattle inventory and your year-to-date slaughter is down over 9%. Your cash market is hitting 260, 262 because your market is very current and there's not many more cattle out there that are market ready to be had. So the packers are bidding those cattle up. But then when you see the placements number of 106%, while the trade estimates were probably more in line with that, it really calls into question, what is the cattle on feed situation out there? I mean, do we have a scenario where with the placements being extra high and the markings being extra low, the placements are reflecting the resumption of a drought and the resumption of liquidation and that retention mindset that we picked up earlier this spring? Is that now out the window until we get better rains in the Western Corn Belt and in the Plain States? The cattle and feed report certainly left more questions than answers, and I think that may indicate to me that the market may have to go down in a couple more days and test some major critical support levels.
All right. Thanks so much. Mike Zuzola joining us today. A quick reminder, commodity futures and options do involve a substantial risk of loss not suitable to all investors. That is the Tuesday market wrap-up right here on the American Ag Network.